Brad Hayes, you are one of my favorite and smartest people in the area of politics and political science. So you have a PhD in government from the University of Maryland, and you teach all of these courses. So give us the insight into Netanyahu and Obama. What's going on?
Well, so I'm not sure that I have the greatest insight here. So just to downplay that wonderful introduction that you gave me. But, you know, so we've seen an extraordinary amount of tension between those two individuals over the last several years. There's just been a series of misstep after misstep, personality clashes that really in some ways culminated in the lead up to, and then now we're kind of in the aftermath of, the Iran nuclear deal.
Let me interrupt you for just a second and say, but if I was Obama and the Republicans invited Netanyahu to come and speak to them against his policy, I'd be pretty ticked off.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was. But the list of grievances even predates that, right? This is,
sure.
There's been offense after offense, or perceived offense after offense throughout. I mean, going all the way back to the first several months of the Obama administration, where he goes to the Middle East, to several different countries, including Egypt, to speak, and he did not stop off in Israel. And that was considered by Netanyahu and his political allies to be a major offense. So, you know, there have been missteps that go all the way back. But I think, you know, this last meeting was really created in the hope to, in some ways, I guess, minimize some of those high profile disputes. And to emphasize points of agreement moving forward, which, you know, have to do with security agreements and trying to, I guess, in some ways confront Iran's misbehavior, both now and in the future. So, you know, I think this is very much an attempt to build some kind of bridge, not necessarily to create some kind of personal friendship, but to find a working relationship moving forward because of the importance of Israel in Middle East politics.
But politically, from a pure political point of view, it is both Obama and Netanyahu both need this terribly, right? I mean, Netanyahu has been criticized severely for screwing up this one relationship in which billions of dollars are sent to Israel every year by their best friend, the United States. And Obama risks people thinking that he's fooling with this historic relationship.
He does. And voters care about that historic relationship.
Yep.
I mean, if you just poll, the American voter, over half of American voters say that this is that Israel is an important issue to them, and it factors in their voter choice. Now, of course, Obama's not facing another election, but nevertheless, it speaks to the importance of this relationship. And also, you know, within the Democratic Party, there is some concern about slippage in support among Jewish voters in the United States. And this is something that people kind of struggle with in the numbers. But you can throw out different numbers and it shows different kinds of slippages.
So let's put it this way. It's only 2% of the American population are Jewish.
Yeah. But when you're thinking about the Democratic Party,
yeah,
right, Jewish voters matter in a particular way, right? Because one, they're an important component of the activist base of the Democratic Party. And they've also been, I think, a kind of reflective of that, been important for the money that's available for candidates. So that their 2% can really matter if it is an active base and people that are willing to support candidates. So while, yeah, you're right, it's the amount of votes may not matter that much, but it's who those voters are that really does matter to the Democratic Party.
I get it. And I think you're right.
And so, I mean, I think in when thinking about these meetings, you know, it may be that Hillary Clinton has the most to gain here, right? Doesn't have a seat at the table at these meetings.
Yeah.
But if, in fact, there's concern about slippage of Jewish voters in the United States and even kind of enthusiasm for the Democratic Party, anything that goes to kind of healing or even perceived healing of the wounds of the last several years would go a long way for any Democrat, but certainly Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Netanyahu, of course, doesn't seem to be in any political danger himself. As Obama, as you pointed out, can't run again.
Right.
So this is interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, I think both of them are concerned about kind of historical legacies, and that they recognize the kind of centrality of the partner to their legacies long term, and so I think they're both trying to figure out a way forward, and they also interestingly both, despite having little fondness for the other, seem to have the ability to work with that kind of a person in order to create better policies and better action.
To what degree do you think Netanyahu feels? I mean, if you put that my famous lie detector on his arm and said, do you really feel they're trying to push you into the sea and that you have to maintain a no policy towards anything that anybody brings you, and an aggressive policy in terms of putting up more settlements in the West Bank and everything else, to what degree do you think he thinks it's imperative that he does all of that?
I think a pretty high degree. Yeah. I mean, just based on his actions.
It's not really some political show.
Yes. I mean, it seems to be, you know, a principled stand, a principled in the sense of a strong commitment. And, you know, we've seen that. And we've seen, and you mentioned settlements and building more settlements. They've done that in ways that have very much stepped on the toes of the United States. There was the incident where Vice President Biden was visiting, and they announced that they were going to build more settlements in the West Bank after I think it was a 10-month stay of that. But they see that as central, as essential. Maybe they're partly might be part of the political coalition supports the government. But I think it's also a larger kind of principled stand about the existence of Israel.
But let's talk a little bit about the political issue here. Netanyahu and his constituency are clearly looking at the way that politics are unfolding in the United States. And they don't expect those people they just did their little bit of, some would say, mischief with. They have to know that Hillary Clinton right now, if you had your finger up in the air and you wanted to see which way the wind is blowing, she's going to be the president.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. And try to rehabilitate relationships with the existing administration so as to lay the foundation for a potential next one. And I mean, I guess in some ways, right, so he already has pretty good relations with the Republicans, right, for the very reasons that you mentioned before. And so, you know, if in fact you're risk averse, right, you're also going to ensure that you have decent relationships with the Democratic administration, should that be the administration moving forward. So, you know, I think it's a good point. And why wouldn't you try to do that? There's very little downside to having these kinds of meetings and attempting to create a better relationship.
Well, Brad Hayes, I know that you are among all of your other hats. You have a Supreme Court hat. When we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about the Supreme Court and what we can expect coming down the road.